There's probably nothing you can do that will have a bigger impact on the kingdom of God than investing in kids' lives. When I was like 23, 24 years old, I was in San Diego in the Navy, but I was a third grade Sunday school teacher. And I didn't just do it 1 week a month either, I did it every week. A man took his dog to the vet and he told the vet, "I want you to cut off his tail." The vet looked at the dog and examined him, and the tail didn't look diseased or injured. And he said, "You want me to surgically remove the dog's tail?" The man said, "Yeah, that's right." The vet looked again, and he said, "Well, you know, I'm sorry, sir, but I can't find any problem with the dog's tail. You know, why do you want me to cut it off?" The man said, "Oh, there's not a problem with his tail. It's just that my mother-in-law is coming to visit next week, and I don't want there to be anything in the house to suggest that she's welcome." All right, boo and hiss, okay, that's all right. See if I tell any more jokes. We're in the middle of a series called Those People, talking about how to deal with those people, the kind that are really difficult to deal with. If you were here last week, we talked about overly needy people. And of course, if you're here, you know that there was a tragedy last week. It was just terrible because I wanted to show this video about overly needy people and it wouldn't work. And I know many of you went home depressed and dejected, probably had a terrible week just because you didn't get to see that video. And so I thought I'd give you another chance. We're going to watch that video right now.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, how's it going?
Not so good. I had another fight with my boyfriend last night.
Really sorry to hear that.
Yeah, we keep having fights. Why does this keep happening to me? Do you think I attract jerks?
No, but I really need to get back to work.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You're mad at me now. I'm sorry. You're mad. You're busy and I'm trying. I'm distracting you. You hate me now, don't you? I bet you hate me. I should just quit my... Do you think I should quit? I just don't make friends very well. And I think maybe it has to do with my mom. See, whenever I was younger and...
Okay. Any questions on how to deal with needy people? I'm having one of those installed in my office right now. I can't wait until Greg comes in next time. All right, we're in a series. Next week we're going to be talking about hypocritical people, those who say one thing and do something else. And then we're going to talk about those critical people, those who can pick anybody apart or anything and often do, including you. Well, today we're talking about those manipulative people. How many of you have had somebody in your life at some point in time who tried to control you, manipulate you, impose their will in your life? In fact, if you've had somebody like that, put both hands up in the air. You know, I just wanted to see if I could manipulate you and get you to raise both hands. It worked on almost everybody. That was pretty cool. I'm going to try another joke. I'm sorry. There's this is an old joke, actually. It's about a guy who died and went to heaven. He sees two lines of people standing at the pearly gates, and there's a sign over one line that says, "For men who are controlled by their wives." And that line was as long as the eye could see. Then under the other sign, it said, "For men who are not controlled by their wives." There was just one guy standing. So the new guy goes up, and he asked this one guy who's standing by himself, he says, "Why are you standing here?" The guy says, "I don't know. My wife just told me to shut up and stand here." Okay, I'm feeling much more firm now that you actually laughed at that. Okay. Today we're going to talk about how to deal with those manipulative and controlling people. And we've got to recognize that this has been a problem since the beginning of time. In fact, I put for you in your notes three different examples from the Bible of people manipulating others. Mark chapter 6 is a story about how King Herod was throwing himself a big birthday party. And as part of the entertainment, he had the daughter of Herodias do a dance for them. And she must have danced something amazing. I don't know what she did, but it says that after the dance was over, he said, "That was so great that I will give you anything you ask for, up to half my kingdom." I mean, that's an amazing dance. And the daughter of Herodias went to her mom, and she says, Mom, what do we ask for? Well, Herodias hated John the Baptist because John had been calling her out on her sinful ways. And so the mom says, ask for the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Well, Herod did not want to kill John the Baptist. He knew he hadn't done anything wrong, but he'd made this promise in front of all his guests, and now they said, you know, you promise, we want it, and as a result, he was manipulated into doing something that he didn't want to do, and tragically, he took the life of John the Baptist because of manipulation. In the Old Testament, Genesis 25, you can read about two brothers, Jacob and Esau. Esau was the older brother who had the birthright. Jacob was the younger brother who was ticked that Esau had the birthright. And one day Esau comes home and he says, I am so hungry, I'm just famished, I'm about to starve to death. And Jacob is cooking up this sweet-smelling stew. And Esau says, give me some of that. And Jacob says, well, you know, if you want some of this tasty stew with the little carrots and potatoes and the nice dead cow, you have to give me your birthright. And so he manipulated Esau into giving him his birthright. And then, of course, there's the classic story that, if it wasn't tragic, would be really funny, of Delilah manipulating Samson. Samson's enormous strength, of course, came from his long hair, but nobody knew that. It was a secret. The Philistines wanted to find out, and so they bribed Delilah, and so she sort of goes undercover cop and goes to him and says, hey, Samson, what's the secret of your strength? And he will not tell her. And over again, she goes back to him and asks, and he won't spill the beans. But she didn't give up. In Judges 16:15, she says to him, how can you say I love you? Okay, that felt sort of weird. I'll stick with the guy voice. She says, how can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the third time you've made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength. Now in verse 16 is where it gets funny. It says, with such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. I think that's really funny. I mean, she was just nagging and nagging until, you know, he wanted to die. He says, I surrender. I give up. Just kill me now. It's better than the nagging. You know, sometimes manipulation seems funny, but the results are anything but funny. As we see in all three of these stories, Herod, Esau, and Samson, they all found that out. You see, when we allow people to manipulate us, sometimes they're trying to hurt us, but you know, sometimes they have our best interest at heart. But either way, when they start to pull our strings and control us, the end result is we surrender the direction of our lives to someone other than God. And that is a very serious thing. Now, how do manipulators work? I put three common tactics on your outline. First, manipulators love to use flattery. Some of you surely work with somebody at work, the brown noser, the suck up, you know, oh, boss, that is so great. You know, you're the best of the best. By the way, can I have next week off? Or it's the lady who says, I just love your hair. Are you losing weight? And then they hit you with a request. A second tactic of manipulator is they'll use threats. If you do this, you'll regret it. I promise you, you'll be sorry. You know, I'm going to hang up on you. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. I'm not going to be your friend. I'm not going to come to your birthday party if you do that. Or flattery threats, the third tactic is guilt. After all I've done for you, and you won't even do this for me, how can you call yourself a Christian? You ever heard that one? I hear that. I thought I could count on you. I thought we were tight, and you know, now I obviously can't depend on you. Or the pity party manipulator. Okay, just go on without me, you know. I'll just spend the rest of my life by myself. You know, I probably won't eat all next week, but you know, that's okay. It's like the elderly man in Phoenix who calls his son in New York and says, you know, I hate to ruin your day, but my wife, you know, your mother and I are going to get divorced. You know, after 45 years, it's just been miserable and, you know, can't take it anymore, and so we're getting divorced. The son says, what are you talking about, Dad? You never talked about getting divorced before? And yeah, you know, it's just been really hard, and in fact, I'm sick of talking about it, so, you know, why don't you call your sister in Chicago and let her know for me. So the son calls his sister in Chicago and he tells her, and the sister says, like heck, they're getting divorced. You know, I'm going to call him right now. So she calls up the dad in Phoenix. She says, you are not getting divorced. Don't do a thing. My brother and I are going to be there tomorrow. You better not get divorced before we get there. The man hangs up the phone and turns to his wife and says, okay, they're coming for Thanksgiving. How about next Christmas? What do you do when you recognize that somebody is trying to manipulate you? How do you break the control of a manipulator in your life? Well, what I want to do is, just like last week, I want to talk about three prayers that'll help us. Because it's important in a situation like this, you don't just apply formulas to this. You know, you can't do formulas with relationships. You need to be led by the Spirit of God in your relationships. We don't want to just reject people because we realize they're trying to control us and then do whatever we think is right. We need to pray and we need to ask God for wisdom and guidance when we're dealing with these kind of people. So prayer number one is this. Number one, God, help me recognize when someone is trying to manipulate me. Help me just recognize it. Because to be honest, some of us have been part of dysfunctional relationships so long that we don't even recognize all the time when it's going on in our life. We have other people that try to manipulate us and we play along and we don't even recognize it when it's a very unhealthy situation. We don't recognize people are flattering us or threatening or making us feel guilty or some other kind of manipulation, and they're leading us to do something that is not in our best interest and it's not to God's glory. There was a time during Jesus' ministry when he had been with the disciples for a couple years already, and the time of his death is approaching. He starts to really open up to them. And he starts to tell them more clearly than ever before, here's the reason I came, but the time is coming soon when I've got to give up my life, and they're going to whip me and kill me, it's going to be ugly, but I'm doing this because God sent me. I'm doing it on your behalf. I'm going to give my life, but then I'm going to rise again. Jesus hadn't told them any of this clearly yet because he knew they wouldn't understand. But now the time of his death is getting close, and so he really wants them to listen, to understand, and to be there for him. We see it in Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day he be raised to life. But then what happens right after that? You know, he opens up to them, and what happens in verse 22 is that Peter decides that he doesn't like where this is going. He tries to take control of the situation. So what did Peter do? It says Peter took him aside. Why did Peter take him aside? Because manipulators often lose power in groups. And so they want to be one-on-one with you. And it says Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said. This shall never happen to you. Now, you might say, well, Peter wasn't trying to manipulate him. Peter just was concerned about it. He loved him. And I would agree with you 100%. Absolutely. Peter's intentions were good. And many times, the people who manipulate you and me have good intentions. But that doesn't mean the outcome is good. Years ago, we had a group of people in this church who loved God, and their motives were good. They wanted to have a great church and bless a lot of people. But they had different ideas about how that would happen in this church, and that led them to try and manipulate and control the direction of this church. And they started to use their influence in ungodly ways that caused division and dissension, and it tore our church apart. Now, these were people who are godly people. They love God. They you know, wanted to honor him. They had good motives. Just like Peter loved Jesus. He loved Jesus and had good motives, but he went astray when he tried to take control. Now, we would all acknowledge that, yeah, there are some people who are intentional manipulators, and they don't have good motives. They don't love you, and they're not trying to do something for your good. You know, it might be the abusive husband who uses power and threats to control his wife, Or it might be the wife who withholds sex from her husband in order to manipulate and control him. It might be the bully who threatens smaller kids at school for his own benefit. We all know situations like that. But many times, manipulation isn't from somebody who dislikes you or is trying to get something from you. Many times, we're manipulated by people who love us and who really want what's best for us, or at least what they believe is best for us. And that was the case with Peter. He was like, hey, Jesus, I love you. I'm concerned about you. I don't want you to die, so don't go around telling people you're going to die. But here's what Jesus realized. Jesus knew that Peter had good intentions, but that he was actually trying to stand between Jesus and God's will for Jesus. Peter, despite his good intentions, despite his love for Jesus, was actually being used by Satan to distract Jesus from his purpose. And that can happen in your life from somebody who loves you. You make a hard decision, you know, feeling like it's going to honor God, and they come along and say, no, you can't do that. I don't want you to do that. You know, there's something better in your, I have a better idea for you. And so we have to be very prayerful and recognize that there are times when somebody who loves us will try to manipulate us in an ungodly way. And that person, even in their good intentions, may be standing between you and God's will for your life. So how do you recognize when someone is trying to manipulate or control you? Here's a couple things if you're taking notes. Number one is that you often feel guilty and find it hard to say no. You feel guilty about it. You know, some of you could look at somebody in your life right now and realize that your desire to please them, your desire to do what they want, really comes from guilt. Or maybe from a belief that you're the only one who can solve their problems. And as a result, if you try to say, no, I can't, or I won't, or not anymore, you feel guilty. You feel like you're letting them down, because you ultimately feel responsible for them. That is a sign that maybe you're being manipulated. Another way to recognize manipulation is you compromise your values to please others. You compromise your values. Maybe some of you girls are dating a guy, and he's great in a lot of ways, but he's pressuring you to do something you don't want to do. And you tell him no, but he says, oh, but I really love you. And if you still say no, then finally he says, well, you know, there's 100 other girls who will. And what happens? You compromise your values because of someone who loves himself more than he loves you and is manipulating you. Or maybe some of you single people have friends and they want you to go to the club or the movie, and you say, well, no, I don't want to go to that club because I remember what happened last time. Or I don't want to see that movie because I don't need to be looking at those kind of things. And, of course, they start making fun. They say, oh, what are you, too good for us? You goody-two-shoes, holier than thou? And they're not doing it because they hate you. They're your friends. They love you. They just want to spend time with you. But even though they love you, they're manipulating you, and they're drawing you away from God's will for your life. Even though they love you, they're hurting you. And so we need to pray, God, help me to recognize when someone else is trying to manipulate me. A second prayer is this: God, empower me to put healthy boundaries in place. Empower me to put healthy boundaries in place. Let's watch another quick video.
Hey, Joe, what's happening?
Just making copies.
That's great, that's great. Hey, I've got a question for you. I got to be heading out of the office a little early this afternoon. I got a golf outing I got to head to. I was just wondering if you could maybe look over these reports, just go ahead and get them done for me so I could go ahead and maybe get out a little early.
I'm kind of busy today.
Yeah, that'd be great, man. I appreciate it. You know what, man? I'd watch it around the office if I was you, because I hear the boss has it out for you. So that's what I hear. And I just want to let you know, maybe you should swing with me for a while, you know, so you can get the rub. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, all right.
Great. Well, you know what, buddy? It's I love you. I love you, right? Thanks, Joe. Really appreciate it.
Ugh. Okay, maybe that's not the right way to put boundaries into place. God, empower me to put healthy boundaries into place. Empower me, that means give me the courage and the will and the resolve to put healthy boundaries into place. When someone tries to manipulate me, I put a boundary in place and I say, sorry, but here's the rules, here's the boundary. Maybe you'd ask, well, what is a boundary? Well, let's go back to the story of Jesus and Peter. Peter says, no, I'm not going to let you die. And then Jesus puts in place a boundary. In verse 23, Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Okay, now that was not just like a little boundary. That's like a million-volt electric fence. You know, that is a big boundary. Why did he say that to Peter? Well, he goes on, you are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. So here's what you do. Next time grandma is trying to manipulate you, you turn to grandma, you say, grandma, that's not going to work with me anymore, and then you call her Satan. Okay? No, I'm kidding. Don't call grandma Satan. I'm going to get emails from grandmas rebuking me. Okay, and probably you don't want to do that with your husband or your wife. Get behind me, Satan, you know, even though they might be being used by Satan, you know, but it probably won't do too much for your date night next week. But anyway, you do need to put in place a boundary, okay? You need to understand that somebody else can be a stumbling block to you, hurting you spiritually, emotionally, physically, and maybe their intentions are good, but they're leading you to do something that doesn't help you and doesn't help them and hurts you. Now, by the way, if you have like a two-year-old at home, this is the right time to start teaching them about appropriate boundaries. You know, if they're in the Walmart aisle at candy or the candy aisle at Walmart and they start throwing a fit, you say, you know, guess what, Mr. Two-Year-Old? You can flop on the floor like a dead fish until Jesus comes again, and you are not getting that candy, okay? And by the way, when we get home, you're not going to get candy for the rest of the month. And you can throw 1,000 temper tantrums. You can turn blue in the face, but you are not in control. You are not going to manipulate me. And if you teach it now, then you are blessing their life, because then they don't have to learn it the hard way when they're 20. Or maybe you need to say to a friend, you know what, you can pout, you can hang up, you can threaten, you can walk away, and I want you to know I'm still going to love you, but that is not going to work on me anymore. I am over being controlled and manipulated by you. Or maybe it's the person at work who is always threatening you. You know, you're going to lose your job, and if you do this, I'm going to do that. And maybe you need to put up a boundary and say, hey, maybe you'll just have to follow through on those threats, because I'm not going to give in to that anymore. I recognize that you're trying to control and manipulate me. That is not going to work on me anymore. That's what a boundary looks like. Now, why is this so important? Listen to me. If you let somebody else control you, then you are essentially committing the sin of idolatry. You're putting somebody else above the sovereign God in your life, allowing a person to misdirect you from what God really wants for you. And that's called idolatry. And so the prayers we pray, first, God, help me to recognize when someone is trying to manipulate me. Second, we pray, God, empower me to put healthy boundaries into place. And then the third prayer is probably the most important of all. Third is, God, help me see my own need to control and help me surrender everything to you. God, help me to see my own need to control and manipulate and then surrender everything to you. You see, it's so easy to get zeroed in on those people who are trying to manipulate me. But we have to remember that all of us, in one way or another, at one time or another, are those people. We all, at one time or another, try to control or manipulate others. In fact, if you're like me, you've got this natural desire to control everything around you. You know, I want my wife, Kathy, to do what I want. I want my children to do what I want. I want our church to do what I want. I want my finances to go the way I want. I want my schedule to go the way I want. And all of us not just naturally want to be in control. And the reason is it boils down to one of two things. Number one, because I really don't fully 100% trust God. Or number two, I really think my world would go better if God would just do things my way. And so even though none of us knows the big picture like God does, and even though we don't have the power we need like God does in order to change other people or even ourselves, even so, we try to control. And it eventually leads to manipulation. But when we do that with other people, even when our motive seems good, even when we love that person, when we try to exercise ungodly control, that will not be blessed by God. It will never lead to the relationships that God wants you to have. You see, what God wants is for you to trust Him for that person or that situation. He wants you to trust Him. Look at Isaiah 26, verse 3. It says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, God, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." You know, I don't know a lot of people who live in perfect peace. I know a lot of people who lived in perfect turmoil and perfect fear and anxiety, but perfect peace is not too common. You see, when I'm trying to control, my thoughts are fixed on what can I do? How can I control it? Not on what can God do. But this says you'll be kept in perfect peace if you first fix your thoughts on God. Then it says, trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. Trust in the Lord how many times? Always. Always. Trust in the Lord when you don't understand. Trust in the Lord when your marriage isn't where you want it to be. Trust in the Lord when you would rather take control of your finances and do it your way instead of God's way. Trust in the Lord when you get a report from the doctor that doesn't look good. Trust in the Lord when your kids are going the wrong direction and you're concerned about them. Trust in the Lord always, for He is the eternal rock. If you try to control it, I can guarantee it will result in less than God's best. Guaranteed. But if we fix our eyes on God and trust in Him always, in every situation, then we can live in perfect peace. Let's stand for prayer. I'd like the worship band to come up for a closing song. And as they do, let's bow together. God, would you help us recognize that we are those people that we've been talking about, that we sometimes try to control things that we ought not to try to control. We sometimes try to manipulate others or our situations to get things that we really need to trust you for. So I pray that you'll help us to recognize those areas in our own lives. I also pray that you'd show us when others are trying to manipulate us or control us in ungodly ways. God, would you please open our eyes to that? And then, God, would you give us the courage and the strength to put in place healthy boundaries and then to enforce those boundaries? And, God, I know there's all kinds of complications that go along with this. I know it can get messy, and sometimes we never get to the point where we want to be. But, God, we ask for your help. We pray that we wouldn't let any person stand between us and what you want for us. God, would you give us the wisdom and the courage to do what's right? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.